Welcome to the third ever episode of Beyond the Base Paths. I'm Josh Franz, and here with me, as always, is Gabe Cordoba Hawthorne. On today's show, you'll hear about what caught our eye the first week in the Major League Baseball season, you'll hear some fantasy insight, and you'll hear our first picks for our all-century team for this new century. But first, we're going to talk about Ozzie Guillen and what he had to say about Fidel Castro. Go ahead, Gabe.
Big news, opening weekend of the baseball, this young baseball season. We had Ozzie Guillen say some, not really warned, I guess, people didn't really like it too much. He said, "I love Fidel Castro," in a magazine, right? If I got that correct.
That's right.
In the community, in the Cuban community, where he just moved to Miami, you know, he's in Florida, he has so many, such a big Cuban presence down there, probably wasn't the best thing for him to say. You had Dan Le Batard, who has a show on ESPN, who said that compared Fidel Castro to the Hitler of their country. So really not somebody who you want to be saying I love if everybody in the community thinks of him as such an awful dictator. Probably not the smartest thing for Ozzie Guillen.
Right, there's no excuse for what Ozzie Guillen said. But in his defense, he did come out later and apologize and also said there might have been some language mix-up. I don't know if I exactly believe that, but I don't know if I believe that he really does love Fidel Castro.
Yeah, completely. I think also the context in which he said, yeah, he said he loved him, but I think it was more referring to how he was able to stay in power,
right,
like, with everybody trying to get him out of power. That he respects, and I guess he loves, apparently, but...
Right, I think it's more of a respect for Ozzie Guillen than a love. For Fidel Castro, as opposed to a love for him.
Him as a person, yeah, absolutely.
What he's been able to do with so many people not liking him.
Absolutely, but the wrong time, you know, beginning of the season, wrong audience, like.
Right, if you're gonna be in an area with so many Cuban Americans, you have to make sure you phrase things properly to not get people pissed off at you.
Yeah,
and he was not careful with his words at all.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you knew that they were going to find out about it, and I have to imagine that he would understand the backlash. Clearly, he didn't. 5-game suspension in this young season for the Marlins. We'll see how they handle it.
Right. I don't think it'll really hurt them going down the stretch. The first 5 games that he suspended aren't going to affect the rest of the season. But there are sponsors who want him fired.
Absolutely.
There's fans who want him fired. There's
Absolutely.
People who want him dead. I hope the Marlins don't take any more precautions over him, because I am a fan of freedom of speech. But to what extent do you let a man go?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they have a new ballpark. It's going to be tough to fill those seats now with your manager now saying that he loves the most hated man. Like, everybody hates this man. All the fans that are trying to buy these tickets. Yet he says he loves him. I don't know. It's going to be tough to sell tickets out there.
Right. Hopefully the players on the field can represent Miami the right way.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we've had too much of Ozzie being Ozzie, and he has to be responsible for his actions now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you saw it at the end there in Chicago. He ended up getting fired. We'll see how this happens here. I mean, maybe he gets one chance, but I can't imagine that I imagine he's going to be on a short lease. I can't imagine that will get much more leeway in the future.
I agree. So, Gabe, what else caught your eye the first week of this Major League Baseball season?
Well, first I want to give a shout-out to, I guess he's our boss, Kyler Mead. The hometown D-backs swept the San Francisco Giants to open up the season. And I'm super pumped about that. Came back from 6 runs down on Sunday. I was actually at that game. Crazy atmosphere. It was absolutely amazing. And so that's probably my biggest highlight from the NL. And then in the AL, it's actually the Anaheim Angels, but them losing their opening series to the Royals at home. Yeah, they won Weaver's start, but the Heron didn't look that great. CJ Wilson looked absolutely phenomenal, so I'll give them that. But I think that they proved that they weren't necessarily, that they had work to do, and they weren't far above the best team in the AL.
All right, first let me comment on your National League story. Because, as you know, I'm a big Los Angeles Dodgers fan, so I have very mixed emotions about this. First of all, I can't be happier when the Giants lose. It makes my day every time I see it happen. With that being said, I have said on this show and on Sun Devil Sports Night that I have the Giants winning the division. So I want them to lose, but I want to be right. So I hope we can find some kind of happy medium there.
I don't think you're going to be right with when you have the Dodgers winning one of your wild card spots. I just think that you're stretching a little bit too far to hope for correctness and going with how you feel.
Right. I think my heart's going to have to be put aside for my analyst abilities and try and predict
maybe in the
correctly.
Future, maybe in the future.
Well, I tried to do it now. We'll see what happens. My two big stories that caught my eye, both in the American League East. Your Red Sox started out 0-3. Oh, the Yankees started out 0-3. These two teams have way too much talent to be losing games consistently. I understand everybody's going to have a three-game losing streak throughout the season. It just happens. That's baseball. But to come off the season that the Red Sox did with all of the negativity that was coming out, and then you get a new manager, maybe he's able to turn it around, but they picked up right where they left off.
But the blown save. I mean, you can't...
It couldn't have been scripted any
better. Yeah, right? Yeah, they came back. They give us fans a little bit of hope, and then sure enough, they lose. They find some way to lose. They're back in the bullpen. It's just not able to do it. They got swept by the Tigers, won their next game, so they're not 0-4 or anything. They finally got a W on that column, but man, that was rough. And also with the Yankees, I think it proves that the Rays are somebody to be reckoned with out there in the AL.
I mean, believe it.
A sweep of the defending champs, the Yankees, I mean, that's huge. That's got to do a bunch for their confidence.
That's right. I mean, the defending champs of the division, of course. The Cardinals won the World Series last year. But I wouldn't be worried about the Yankees if I'm a Yankees fan. They have so much talent. They have so much experience. They'll lose three games in a row and pick it right back up where they belong.
It's a long season. They have plenty of... plenty of time to improve and figure everything out.
Right, moving on, let's get to our fantasy insight for the day. Gabe has five players who you shouldn't want on your fantasy team. If you have them, try and trade them, maybe drop them. They're not going to live up to the big name that they have.
Absolutely. For starters, I'm going to do White Sox catcher AJ Pierzynski. Many of you may like him just because of his name. I don't think that the White Sox are going to do anything in the division. I think that you're going to start seeing somebody start playing over him, maybe getting more playing time, because they're going to try to get a new catcher in there, you know, new generation, kind of rebuilding.
You always try to get younger as a ball club.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's no reason, if you have Paul Konerko over there in first base, there's no reason to start AJ Pierzynski every day. So I don't think he's going to get as many at-bats. Number two, I have actually Joey Votto from the Reds. I know he just signed a huge contract, but... I don't know. For some reason, I don't trust the Reds. He's their main power source, and he hasn't been looking too great of lately. I mean, I imagine by the end of the year, he'll probably have some decent numbers, but if you're looking for an MVP-type season from Joey Votto, I just don't see it. I think that you can trade him and get a lot for him. There's not a lot of people who aren't going to want a power first baseman like that.
Right, and there's a lot of guys. I'm not saying Joey Votto is one of them, but there's a lot of guys who sign a big contract and tend to relax a little bit because they just got paid. Exactly. He might not be one of them, but the numbers may reflect it this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And then my third one, I got Aramis Ramirez coming over from... he's playing in Milwaukee, coming over from the Cubs. He didn't look good at his last couple years in Chicago. He was looking kind of uncomfortable. I don't see him making a better transition over to Milwaukee. He's seeing the same pitchers, really. Not going to be real much of a difference there. And he's going to be... I'm pretty sure he's in charge of backing up Ryan Braun, and I just don't see him be able to do that effectively.
He's a tough guy to hit behind, tough guy to cover.
Yeah, absolutely. Fourth, I mentioned this earlier. I mentioned this on our show. Derek Jeter. I just do not trust the guy. I think that he is too old to be consistent and play every day in the majors. So if you have him as your starting shortstop, I would recommend trying to find somebody else, trading for somebody else. I think he could be a good backup. You throw him in there every now and then, maybe he'll get you a hit, but I just don't think that you can depend on him as your shortstop.
Right, and he's a guy whose trade value might have gone up in the past week or so. He started off hot this season, had a big day tonight. You might be able to get something for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe somebody else is looking for a shortstop, kind of falls in love with the name a little bit, not necessarily what he could produce in the future. And then my fifth and final person is Carlos Lee out there in Houston. Big power bat out there in left field. Started off pretty well. Had a couple home runs. But, you know, he's playing for Houston. I just don't see him being able to do that much. Doesn't really have protection. Pitcher's going to be able to pitch around him, maybe even through him. I don't know if he has a bat speed that he used to. So another big name that people might like a lot, but I just don't trust him later in the year.
All right, so the theme I see without your five guys are aging guys who used to be stars who just don't have it anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you kind of see the names and you're like, oh, I recognize that, especially most people who play fantasy baseball. They see it, they're like, oh, I've seen it in the game, I recognize it, so they want it. But it's just really not realistic, especially in a fantasy, if you have like a more of a compact league where each position is crucial. You don't have as many utility or, you know, outfielders, maybe a strong first baseman. You need them consistent rather than somebody who, you know, might go 0-for-4 one night and then, 2-for-5 another night, like bottom.
Right. I can't stress enough that fantasy baseball is just strictly about the numbers, just like any other fantasy sport. You might as well not even look at the guys' names while you're trying to decide who to pick up, who to drop, and who to trade
absolutely.
For. Look at the numbers. Look at batting average, deals, whatever your team needs. Look at those numbers and get the guys that way, because your head will read a name and just trick you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you'll fall in love with them simply because of the name appeal, but it's not always the best.
Okay, so as opposed to Gabe, I found five guys who are owned by 55% or less teams in a Yahoo Standard League. So these are guys who I feel are available in your league, can help you out. First guy I'd like to start out with is White Sox starting pitcher John Danks. He's had one start this year. He went 6 innings, 3 earned runs, quality start, had 6 strikeouts, so he's already getting a strikeout and inning this year. He had a 4.33 ERA last year. Not where you want it, but that could come down some because he is pitching in the AL Central, and as we know, there's only one good team in the AL Central, and that's the Detroit
Tigers.
Yeah. So if he's playing the Tigers, you sit him. If he's playing anybody else, you flip a coin, maybe get some good numbers from him.
Yeah.
Second guy is Miami Marlins first baseman Gabby Sanchez. He's off to a terrible start. No need to look at this first week. Everybody's getting ready, getting in the thick of things for baseball. Not everybody had the best spring. A guy like Mark Teixeira, you know, doesn't always get off to the hottest start. I wouldn't just look at these numbers now. But last year, Gabby Sanchez had 19 home runs, 78 RBI, and that 78 RBI I look at as a number to only get better now with Jose Reyes in the lineup for Miami. Next up, I have Toronto Blue Jays outfielder Kobe Rasmus. He had trouble staying healthy last year, but when he was healthy, his last time in 2010, 23 home runs and a .276 batting average. So if you're looking for a guy that's going to get you some numbers, maybe help out a little bit with the bat, he's one. You got to hope he stays healthy, but if he is, I could see him putting up some numbers for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And he plays the outfield position, so if you need a spot covered out there, he got you covered. He can also plays in the American League, so there's chances where he might not necessarily be in the lineup, but be DHing, so still gets you some offensive production without necessarily being in the field. I think, it's definitely a solid choice. He also has a chance of maybe playing maybe some worse pitching later in the season. So look for him to improve.
Right, you're trying to say the AL Central's pitching isn't the strongest. He's going to be able to face some guys who he can get on base against.
You said Rasmus, right?
I'm sorry, I was still on Rasmus. Yeah, the Yankees pitching we know is good. Red Sox pitching is good. When he's out of the division, away from the Rays,
and I mean, with
he'll find some pitching he can hit off
with the protection of Joey Bats. I mean, he makes everybody better.
Right.
Possibly, if he's batted in a different spot in the lineup, maybe he gets protection or something from Joey Bats. Definitely room to improve it.
All right, my mistake there. I was looking ahead to the next guy I had on my list. I have Chicago White's outfielder Alex Rios. Had an off year last year, only hit .227, but I expect a bounce back year because in 2010, listen to this, he had a .284 average, 21 home runs, and 34 stolen bases. Those look like numbers that anybody on my team I'd be happy to have. And remember, he's a guy who's only owned in 55% of leagues. I don't know why you don't want this guy.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be easy to a good chance that you're able to pick him up. He's got power numbers, batting average. I mean, he's not really doing anything that great, but he'll be able to pretty much do a little bit of everything for you, help any team out.
Right, if I have a fifth or sixth outfielder or a utility guy that's hitting me 21 home runs and getting over 30 steals,
absolutely.
I'm a happy owner, especially in a deep league.
Yeah.
Another guy who might be good in a deep league, going back to the mound, is St. Louis Cardinals relief pitcher Fernando Salas. 68 appearances on the hill last year, pitched 75 innings, 24 saves, and this is the kicker, a 2.24 ERA. So you're giving me a reliever who's going to go out there, he's going to pitch an inning or more every time he goes out, and he's not giving up runs. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
All right, we'll move on now to our next segment, which we will have from now on every episode of Beyond the Base Paths. Gabe and I are both picking all-century teams. So starting in 2000 through the 2012 season, We're going by picking position by position to see who can end up with the better team. On our first episode today, we will have a starting pitcher and a relief pitcher. Gabe, I'll let you go first with your starter.
First, with my starter, I'm going to have to choose Randy Johnson. Pitched here in Arizona and went over to the Yankees, had a short stint with the Giants. But through the beginning of the 2000s, he was just absolutely dominant. Between 1999 and 2002, he won four straight Cy Youngs.
It's incredible.
Absolutely ridiculous. Him and Curt Schilling World Series MVPs in 2001 when the D-backs won. I mean, a power lefty, throws, can easily touch the hundreds if he wants to.
Yeah, 6'11" with a 100-mile-an-hour fastball on a slider that's going to make you jump out of the way if you're a left-handed hitter.
Yeah, absolutely. Makes birds explode. I mean, that's how fast it's going. Yeah, definitely a good number one. I think that arguably the best starter, mainly for what he did in the beginning. Obviously, later in the 2000s when he was with the Yankees and the Giants, not the same, but I mean, still, he never had a losing record except for in 2003 when he went 6-8, but he seemed to be injured most that year. So,
hey, if you look at the guy in his prime, he's unbelievable, and you can't really go wrong with picking Randy Johnson.
And I mean, he's a lefty, he's making him even more valuable.
Right.
So, yeah, what about you? Who do you have for your starter?
My starting pitcher, I have Roy Halladay, a man who's dominated baseball since he stepped foot on a mound, put his cleats on, and he was 4 years old, I'm guessing. He knows how to do everything. So I'm going to look at his numbers from 2002 on. 2002, 19-7 with a 2.93 ERA. Next year he wins 22 games. We cross out the 2004 year. Everybody has one bad year in a stretch.
Yeah,
all right, you cross out 2003 for Randy Johnson. I'm crossing out 2004 for Roy Halladay. You move on to 05, 12-4. Didn't really have hitting from the Toronto Blue Jays, but he had a 2.41 ERA. Next year he is 18 wins.
Yeah, I mean, with Roy Halladay, it's important to look at his ERA, his lack of walks, which has always been there, and his high strikeout numbers, especially earlier in his career when he was with Toronto, because Lord knows they weren't really scoring all that.
They weren't the best ball club for him to put up great numbers.
Yeah, but I mean, people still knew he was great, and that's why he was traded to Philly and
was a first ballot Hall of Famer in my book.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then you look at 2008, he 20 wins. 2009, 17 wins with a 2.79 ERA.
And now he goes to the Phillies.
2010, he's on the Phillies. Hey, now he gets 21 wins with some bats that he's got. Still has a 2.44 ERA. And then 2011, 19-6 with a 2.35 ERA. Looks to be a Cy Young candidate every year. Puts up incredible numbers. This is my first choice, no matter who you picked.
Yeah. I mean, you can't really go wrong with the Doc Halladay. He's definitely solid, especially now that he's in Philadelphia. He's got all that protection behind him. But, I mean, in terms of just raw pitching ability, he's definitely up there. Location, how he mixes up his pitches, the pitches he's able to throw for strikes really whenever he wants to, keeping a hitter completely on their heels.
Keeps them off balance, keeps them guessing. They don't know what's coming. Even if they do, most of the time they can't hit it. The guy's a machine out there on the mound.
And, I mean, he generally is up there in the league lead for complete games. I mean,
right.
But in 2008, he had nine, in 2010, he had nine complete games.
Right, that'll definitely help your bullpen, although you may not need to help my reliever. I'm going to go ahead and tell you who it is right now. The relief pitcher I took a closer because I think that's the most important relief position you can have on the field.
Yeah.
You don't have a good closer, you're not going to win the game that you've earned to win throughout the entire game. I'm taking Mariano Rivera. His work speaks for itself. He's won four World Series with the Yankees. But during the regular season, you start in the year 2000, right? Let's look at this. A 2.85 ERA, 36 saves out of 41 chances. You move on the next year, 50 saves. The year after that, 28 out of 32. Then 40 out of 46. 53 out of 57 with a 1.94 ERA. I could just go on through even till this year, and he's putting up ERAs in the high ones pretty much every year.
And all this with one pitch, mind you. I mean, that cutter, just absolutely untouchable. And he's always, everybody knows exactly the pitch that's coming. They know, ninth inning, I'm going to get nothing but cutters from Mariano Rivera. And then he still finds ways to get people out.
That has to be the best feeling in the world as a pitcher. The batter knows what pitch is coming.
You know what pitch is coming.
Everybody in the stadium knows what pitch is coming. You throw it, and the guy still looks like a fool swinging at it every single time.
Unless it's the Red Sox in 04 and the ALCS. But I'm just saying.
Just had to get that in. Surprised I haven't heard a Tim Wakefield, Aaron Boone reference, but that's besides the point.
Bleeping Aaron Boone, I tell you.
Sorry to throw that one in your face. I'm not even a Yankees fan. Just wanted to see the look on your face when I heard that.
It hurts.
All right, so who's your stud reliever?
Well, I'm also going to go with the closer. I mean, I feel the closer for greatest reliever of all time. It's definitely tough to find a long reliever. We don't really know any of their names.
Right.
Generally, if you know the middle reliever or long reliever's name, means that they're not doing that well. Usually, us as the fans aren't supposed to know their names. So I'm going to go with the closer, and I'll go with the guy that Mariano Rivera just passed for the overall save leader. And that's Trevor Hoffman. Pitched with the Padres. He was injured in 03, but pretty much from 2000 to 2009, he was averaging definitely over 30 saves, roughly close to 40. He had a career high 46 in 06, and he was the first one to reach, what was it? I think it was 500 saves?
Yeah.
500 saves. So, I mean, he's definitely a workhorse, first ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, if it weren't for Mariano Rivera, he'd be the greatest closer of all time with simply a changeup. You know, a weak fastball, but mostly a changeup, just right. Like Rivera has his cutter.
And in your defense, what he's done might be more incredible than what Mariano Rivera's done, because Mariano Rivera's had, I would assume, so many more save opportunities being on the Yankees than Hoffman has been on the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, absolutely. I bet you, and Hoffman had to go in probably for more, two inning saves than Mariano
Rivera. Rivera does that in the playoffs. He doesn't go to his numbers in the regular season.
Yeah, exactly. And they had Flash Gordon for the longest time setting him up, and they're trying to get Soriano. So the Yankees have always made it a point to try to get someone in that eighth inning to get it to Rivera, because they know as soon as you get to the ninth, it's
the game's over.
Yeah, pretty much over.
But the same thing with Hoffman.
Yeah.
He's been incredible his entire career, dominating the NL West, really wherever he is.
It was just really unfortunate that he had to go to the Brewers, I think. I really would have liked for him to be able to finish his career out there in San Diego. I think that would have been better for him, better for the fans, especially in San Diego where they don't really have much going for him out there.
Right. You always like to see a small town guy stay with his team the entire career. I like what Joe Mauer did signing a long contract. I like what Joey Votto did signing his long contract.
Yep.
I like the loyalty guys show to their home city.
Yep, definitely. Although I have to say, I am glad that Adrian Gonzalez left there. I mean, who needs San Diego when you got Boston,
if you weren't a Red Sox fan, are you happy Adrian Gonzalez left?
Fair enough.
All right, so now you have our first two picks. Once again, mine, I have Roy Halladay and Mariano Rivera. Gabe starts out his team with Randy Johnson.
Trevor Hoffman.
And Trevor Hoffman. I don't know how that great name just escaped me. That'll do it for the end of our third episode of Beyond the Base Paths. We'll be on Sun Devil Sports Night this Friday talking once again about fantasy baseball, so be sure to catch us in there. If you happen to not catch us for whatever reason, I do forgive you, but we will be back here a week from now to hear next week's Baseball Insight. This has been Gabe Cordoba Hawthorne and Josh Franz with Beyond the Base Paths.